the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12. The phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com, the website. You can email us all there. Sexy liberal John Fugelsang in hour number two. Fridays with Fugelsang. Adam Schiff, representative of right there in Burbank.
Will be
right there in that seat, hour number three.
Burbank, Friday. Among other places.
How did you like my magical solution that I talked to Jackie Schechner about at the top of the hour? I'm just saying, because we talked about the cost of colonoscopies, and with all the spying, I said, why don't we have the government just send a little tiny drone up our ass and collect all our information and a free colonoscopy? Just saying.
Yeah, all but right. The government wouldn't spring for lubricant.
No?
No.
Well, all right. Listen, not every solution is perfect.
Yeah, that's
going
to cost you.
Not every solution is perfect, kids. All right. New jobs numbers. Let's tune into Fox to find out why this is bad. U.S. businesses picked up hiring a bit in May. Labor Department reported U.S. added 175,000 jobs last month, slightly above expectations. Let's switch over to Fox to find out why this is bad for America.
The unemployment rate.
Oh, it ticked up. That's true. They'll focus on that. Yep. 7.5 to 7.6%.
But it's only because more people are now looking for jobs.
Right.
Thanks, Obama.
Thanks a lot. Right. Oh, you posted on the face page, the Facebook thing.
My about, face space.
Oh, you said June gloom?
Thing? Yes. Oh, yes. June gloom, it hung around until like 1 o'clock yesterday afternoon, and I'm like, I post a picture of it, and I'm like, thanks, Obama.
Right. Thanks, Obama. All right. By the way, this is why I'm not on the Facebook thing page.
Why?
Well, like I came in, and Travis said he's having something, but see, it's you can avoid things like that because the traffic is going to be really bad where he's having his thing. So I was like, oh, no, I'm not on Facebook. I didn't get that. I wouldn't want to go anyway. This way I can just say I didn't know.
Oh, yes, his little brunch.
Right.
Yes.
Right. The traffic's going to be bad.
It's going to be awful.
Right.
Streets closed off.
Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. And now this just in. Look at this. Using Facebook can lead to cheating, breakup, and divorce. The source of all evil,
sure.
Facebook.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
See? That's why I don't do it.
Yep.
I can screw up my personal life all by myself with the help of no social media whatsoever.
Also, you have to remember to log out because they follow you around.
Facebook. Yes, just another way for them to collect information about us.
Mm-hmm.
See? Research shows that Facebook could actually be damaging to users' romantic relationships. It found that individuals who use Facebook excessively are far more likely to experience Facebook-related conflict with their romantic partners.
That's a euphemism.
Right.
Facebook-related conflict.
Right, which then may then cause negative relationship outcomes, including emotional and physical cheating, breakup, and divorce. Previous research, can you imagine if I had the help of social media to further screw up my social life? I mean, really. Previous research has, the study author says, previous research has shown that the more a person in a romantic relationship uses Facebook, the more likely they are to monitor their partner's Facebook activity more stringently, which can lead to feelings of jealousy. Facebook-induced jealousy may lead to arguments concerning past partners. Also, our study found that excessive Facebook users are more likely to connect or reconnect with other Facebook users, including previous partners. No.
Computer says no.
Bad. Never leads to anything good, which may lead to emotional and physical cheating.
Huh.
I could have told you that for free.
Emotional cheating? What's emotional cheating?
Emotionally, you know. You know. Don't act like you don't know. We had just Facebook-related conflict just then.
I guess so.
It's when you're not actually, but you're, you know, having an emotional affair. Maybe you need to be a chick to understand. All right, anyway, let's move on.
Yeah, dudes don't deal with emotions.
Thinking about somebody is...
that was kind of funny. I got a blank stare when I mentioned emotion. You were like,
what?
I don't recognize this.
Yeah,
I'm not aware of this phenomenon.
Is this a human thing? Oh, that's funny. So guys don't have emotional affairs because you have no emotions? Is that your deal?
No.
On Vulcan, we do not have
I know emotions. Some people who don't have emotions.
Oh, all right. I think that was another Facebook-related something. See what I'm saying?
I do.
Just felt like a...
I get it now. Okay.
It's like a potpourri of emotions.
Weird
yes.
thing that happened with Facebook is a girl I knew in high school, just a friend. We didn't, you know, hook up or anything.
Mm-hmm.
But she told me she had a
dirty... Is that what you told your lovely wife?
Yes. No, but she just told me about a dirty dream she had about me.
Awesome.
Is that emotional
on
cheating?
Facebook.
Do Maybe. Not encourage Jim. Jim does not need any encouragement of any kind.
That could lead to a Facebook-related conflict.
Yeah.
I'll say. Particularly if your lovely wife Juniper is up at this hour. All right. The only good thing for the interwebs is funny dog and funny kitty things. Like Cody.
No.
I'm sorry.
Cody's
you know
not
what?
Funny.
Yes. Listen, I am relentless about Cody, the dog that screams like Sam Kinison. I will force you all to love him. like Kenny Pick in Cleveland, has created a hair of the dog Cody parody. Yes, he has.
Wow, that's some hangover.
Thank you, Kenny. See? Ooh, actually, that will clear your hangover.
Yeah.
All right, so lots to talk about. The Obama administration yesterday defended its collection of telephone records of millions of Americans as part of U.S. counterterrorism efforts, reigniting a fierce debate over privacy, as it called the program critical to warding off an attack. This is an interesting subject.
It's a sticky wicket, right?
We have people on both sides. I'm like, wait, Lindsey Graham is for it? Then I can't be for it.
Yeah, I'm not happy with it.
Yeah, nope. And Congress knew. I mean, this is Jim was saying yesterday when the people on the right go, this is an abuse of the Patriot Act. No, it's not. This is the Patriot Act.
Yeah, it is.
This is what we agreed to after 9/11.
Exactly. And President Obama never said he wasn't going to do this while he was campaigning for president. Mm-hmm. He always said he would go through a FISA court, which is what he's done.
Megan McArdle wrote a great piece in the Daily Beast. It's entitled, Big Brother's Watching Your Cell Phone. Don't blame the administration. We're doing this to ourselves. I mean, it is, as you say, a sticky wicket.
It is
what we've agreed to.
I never agreed to it.
Yeah,
no,
not
I mean,
all of us.
But as they were saying, Russ Feingold was the only one that voted against the Patriot Act, and it's been reauthorized. Harry Reid yesterday.
Right now, I think everyone should just calm down and understand this isn't anything that is brand new.
Calm down. We've been spying on you for a long time. Sorry you had to see me get upset like this. Everybody calm down.
I'm trying to rein my emotions in.
It's hysterical, Harry Reid telling us to calm down.
I'm sorry you had to see me like this.
I'm sorry I'm so upset, but you calm down. Okay. Bernie Sanders, of course, said the United States should not be accumulating phone records of tens of millions of innocent Americans. That's not what democracy's about. That's not what freedom's about. I thought I heard, was a gentleman, Napolitano, yesterday saying it's not innocent. She's saying there has to be, that seems to be the debate, is there has to be some suspicion or some reasonable something that you would be checking. I don't know.
You know what? That's, it sounded like they were gathering all the records to look for patterns.
Right.
Right.
And that's not a specific thing that they're going after. That's a broad thing.
It wouldn't
thing.
Be hard to pick up my pattern.
Jackie Schechner.
No, Liquor Barn.
Oh.
Well, I mean, equally divided between pestering Jackie Schechner and Liquor Barn.
Okay.
Okay. The White House said strict controls were in place to ensure the program did not violate civil liberties, emphasized the collection of data did not include listening to calls. I'm not sure if that, to what degree that matters. The intelligence community is conducting court-authorized intelligence activities pursuant to public statute with the knowledge and oversight of Congress.
Yeah.
Did you
see what the Washington Post is reporting this morning?
What?
The NSA and the FBI have been tapping into the servers of major internet companies to collect audio, video, photographs, emails, and other documents, according to a report on a program codenamed PRISM.
So they're looking at me saying, "What? How many times can she watch Cody? How many? It's only funny like the first couple of times."
Yeah, but
that's Orwellian.
Yes, that's not good.
Well, Republican Mike Rogers of Michigan, he's the chairman of the House Representative Intelligence Committee, said the program did not abuse civil liberties and told reporters it's been used to stop a significant terrorist attack within the United States.
Sure.
Right, but this is what we've always heard, but didn't give details.
It didn't happen, so.
But Dianne Feinstein on the other side of the aisle said it's called Protecting America. And this is going to be the debate.
Yeah.
I mean,
how do you prove something that didn't happen?
Leading members of Congress said the program has been going on for 7 years.
Look how safe we've kept you by something not happening.
Right.
Give up all your liberties, or else.
Well-known Southern Belle Lindsey Graham said if we didn't do it, we'd be crazy. Of the data collection. The ACLU said it's a program in which some untold number of innocent people have been put under the constant surveillance of government agents. So, I mean, you got people all over the place that are like, that even that you might not suspect are either for or against this.
Well, it seems like the people that are on, the Senate Intelligence Committee, they're for it. Everyone else is against it.
Right.
Dianne Feinstein is the head of the Senate Intelligence Committee.
Well, because they're gathering intelligence.
Exactly.
So
but they know what's going on.
Right.
The rest of the Senate doesn't. So.
Right. But then you've got people like Representative James Sensenbrenner, Republican of Wisconsin, saying this.
This is a big deal, a really big deal. I would see nothing wrong with targeting the phone records of somebody who is suspected of terrorism. But everybody who either sent or received a call from a Verizon phone and maybe the other cell phone providers. That was never the intent of the business records section.
And he wrote the Patriot
Act.
Well,
that's what I mean. He said, I do not believe the released FISA order is consistent with the requirements of the Patriot Act. But, you know, obviously a lot of people said what Jim said yesterday. This is the Patriot Act. It's just, you know, we're quibbling over details, but this is essentially what we agreed to. And again, not we, but not Russ Feingold.
It's but, essentially you know, what was shoved through Congress.
Right. Anyway, so, you know, maybe it's time to rehave that debate, which we shall do.
And remember that they sent anthrax to the two people who were supposed to review the Patriot Act.
And they never got to the bottom of that, did we?
No.
All right.
Except that it was a domestic source.
They know that much. Yeah. All right. More on this, your thoughts on ours. 1-800-STEPH-12, 17 minutes after the hour. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Coming up after this commercial, I will be talking even louder.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Hey, this hour brought to you by Wix. All right. Oh, speaking of fabulous products.
What?
Andrew in San Diego has actually sent me a wax vac. Wax vac. It just makes sense because, and then he also, he did a giant ow on the letter there. Right. Wow, that is impressive. Thank you for that.
Ow!
Right, that's what happens when you use a Q-tip.
Ow!
Right, but not with wax vac.
Ow!
It just makes sense. Okay. Thank you. I think, Travis wants the green tips. He calls dibs on the green tips.
They're different color tips?
Yes! Yes! That's what makes it so magical. All right, 1-800.
I want you to give a demonstration of that after the next break.
I think I will.
Okay,
well,
then.
Well, it's hard to get through my headphone.
You don't need to. You can wear headphones on one ear. You do it all the time.
Okay.
I predict you'll say, ow!
Travis is saying,
ow!
Travis is saying we can all use it.
No, we can't.
That's
gross.
Ew. Okay. 1-800-STEPH-12, the phone number. Let's start with Tony in the Bronx. Hey, Tony.
Hi, good morning, Stephanie.
Good morning. Good morning. Go ahead.
Hello. I want to submit, I am a left-wing ideological person, right? Support Bernard Sanders, Noam Chomsky, things like this. And I see a lot of these people call you and they attack this idea of Obama making practical decisions, public policy. You understand this? I support this, your position on Obama has to make this compromise for public policy. Even though my personal ideological stance, this morality is to the left of Obama, I think it's more important that Obama makes a functional public policy governance.
Are you talking in general or on this specific issue?
In general and the specific
issue. The issue of the NSA spying?
Excuse me?
The issue of the NSA, you know, getting phone records from Verizon?
No, well, this is complex. This is also about making a practical public decision about national security, but I feel also more in general in the future when these attacks come of ideology from the right or the left, and I also am a left-wing ideology.
Yeah.
Ideological, excuse me.
Yeah.
My English.
Yeah, I hear you. I hear you. Listen, this is tough stuff, as you would say. And that's what happens when, you know, we're so used to our partisan trenches, and then you've got Dianne Feinstein and Saxby Chambliss, you know, saying, being for it, and you've got obviously people, people on both sides, whether it's Sensenbrenner and Bernie Sanders.
Chambliss and Feinstein are both on the Senate Intelligence Committee. They get intelligence briefings.
Right.
They know the horrors that are out there in the world.
Yeah.
So that's probably why they're for this.
Moving to tamp down public outroar over the disclosure of two secret surveillance programs, the nation's top intelligence official is declassifying key details, about the programs while insisting the efforts to collect America's phone records and the U.S. internet use of foreign nationals overseas were legal, limited in scope, and necessary to detect terrorist threats. James Clapper, the director of national intelligence, on an unusual late-night statement last night, denounced the leaks of highly classified documents that revealed the programs and warned that America's security will suffer. He called the disclosure of a program that targets foreigners' internet use reprehensible and said the leak of another program that lets the government collect Americans' phone records would change America's enemies' behavior and make it harder to understand their intentions. It's like all of this stuff, like, because now this it encompasses leaks, like he was just talking about as well, which there's obviously debate already about to what degree we prosecute leaks. Senator Saxby Chambliss, Republican of Georgia.
This is nothing particularly new. This has been going on for 7 years.
That's the thing is, that's why you're not hearing people in Congress necessarily scream they knew about this.
Oh, of course.
We didn't, but they did, obviously. Yeah. Senator Dianne Feinstein, Democrat, California.
This is simply, it's renewed every 3 months. They must go into court, and this is that renewal.
Some people are saying overreach. I heard one expert say that this is absolutely them overreaching. People like Feinstein are saying no. Senator Dick Durbin, Democrat of Illinois.
We want to keep America safe, but we don't want to compromise our basic freedoms and our privacy as individuals.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. Completely agree
with
that.
Yeah, but that's the problem. That's a fine line.
That's the sticky wicket.
Right.
As it were, to coin a phrase.
The vaporless Lindsey Graham on this subject.
I hope America people appreciate we're at war, because I sure as hell do.
Oh, thank you for that.
Right. But, we don't need to be... that's the problem. Well, it's always wording. Okay, well, we have to say we're at war.
We were at war in World War II.
Yeah, I don't know that we're at war right now. We're just defending ourselves.
It's this whole argument, can you be at war against a tactic, right. You know?
You can't.
Chris in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Chris.
Hi, how you doing? I agree with, that last caller that I just don't understand what people are so paranoid about. Every month they collect your phone records. It's called your phone bill. It's out there. What are you doing that you think the government has time to, give up? There's somebody going to bomb us, but let's look at this guy's erectile dysfunction problem, or he's having an affair with his secretary. What do you think they actually have time to scrutinize? There's so much data, and they have to find a needle in a haystack. Think they're actually going to waste time with your drinking photos or what have you? Everybody raises themselves to this extreme importance, and it's just, I just don't get it. We've known they've been doing this since the Patriot Act, what, in 2002,
right.
2003, and that this comes as a surprise? It's just summer.
I know, but Chris,
season.
I think it renews the debate, at least, of what is okay in a free country, and that's the thing people always say, like, oh, I'm not doing anything wrong. What do I have to fear from this? It's a fine line.
Then the next time, some guys get together and blow up a bunch of people at a parade or at a ball game or something, then everybody's going, well, why didn't you catch them?
Listen, all good points. It continues 29 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There will only be open minds and new horizons. Get ready for
Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour. This just in.
Yeah, Anonymous seems to have leaked a treasure trove of NSA documents, including seriously important stuff like the U.S. Department of Defense's strategic vision for controlling the internet.
And I've mentioned many times I would like to control the internet, mostly what's said about me on it.
Well, you can't.
And old pictures.
Well, yes.
All right.
And that's Gizmodo.com says it was released with typical Anonymous bluster, as they are wont to do.
This is important, though.
It
is. Director of National Intelligence. Jim just said, that's a good leak. This is what's hard, Jim, as you get into these areas, good leaks or bad leaks. James Clapper, the Director of National Intelligence, said the unauthorized...
Is that who you are? What you do?
You cannot clapper him on or off.
Oh, shoot.
The unauthorized disclosure of a top secret U.S. court document threatens potentially long-lasting and irreversible harm to our ability to identify and respond to the many threats facing our nation, which obviously was echoed by, as we, you know, senators on both sides of the aisle. I don't know, Jim. That's the problem, is when you get into these partisan, we sure didn't like it when they leaked Valerie Plame's name, and it's like, that's a bad leak. And then you go, well, I think you mentioned Bradley Manning. You're like, oh, are those good leaks? I mean, it's just...
Well, and the stuff we need to know that, you know, we're strafing people, civilians.
In amongst a lot of stuff that put a lot of people in danger.
Such as?
You don't know.
Yeah, but you can't just go, oh, that's okay. You know what I mean?
Yeah, there's no such thing as a surgical leak.
Yeah. I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like, you can't, there are laws. You can't just say, okay, Bradley Manning should just be able to go now. I mean, it's like, you can't, I get that there's a lot of, there's a lot of sticky issues in it, but, go ahead. No, go ahead.
So you would send Cy Hirsch to prison for, talking about My Lai, reporting on My Lai, or Daniel Ellsberg for the Pentagon Papers.
Did they actually steal them?
Yeah. I mean,
were the Pentagon Papers given to Daniel Ellsberg?
No, I think
he actually went into the Pentagon and stole them.
I think he took them out himself. I don't remember the exact details of it.
Yeah, we'd have to. Well, that's important. That, you know.
That's the distinction. Bradley Manning actually stole the documents.
Yeah. KB,
he didn't steal the footage of those reporters being strafed.
Gotcha. KB in Newark. Hey, KB, welcome.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Seth? Good. Good. Go ahead.
Great. Hey, you guys, I just wanted to let you know, I'm a raging liberal, but, you know, some of the stuff that's going on right now, I cannot agree with. Like that Clapper guy saying that, you know, leaks are dangerous and stuff like that. He's the same guy that said the NSA, if they're collecting information on Americans, and we didn't do it on purpose, but it's written into the law. They're doing it on purpose. And, like, the biggest thing about that is Feinstein lady going on and saying that, you know, this is lawful. Well, guess what? In a whole lot of governments that used to be open and then all of a sudden overnight seemingly to its citizens, all the laws that turned out to be tyrannical were passed legally. Just because it's legal doesn't mean that it's moral. Right. Doesn't mean that it's right. And how are you saving anybody when you're collecting everybody's information at once? They don't even have people looking at this information. They have one great big computer just storing it, and if something happens, then they'll go find out what happened.
Well, I mean, Jenna Napolitano said yesterday there has to be some reasonable suspicion. I mean, but that's the problem is, you know, this is piece of, Jim, I was telling you about in the Daily Beast, Big Brother's watching your cell phone, don't blame the administration, we're doing this to ourselves. I mean, part of this is what we've agreed to, you know, and she questions that, what we've agreed to, that I think after 9/11 it became like, you know, do whatever you need to keep us safe. But she says some good things. She said the Guardian dropped quite a scoop. The NSA has been collecting phone records from millions of Verizon customers. She said this is not the first time we've heard this. Similar stories broke under the Bush administration, but now we know that this is an indiscriminately bipartisan vice. Regardless of who's in the White House, they will secretly collect massive pools of data on U.S. citizens. As an intelligence official said, everybody's a target. Everybody with communication is a target. Let that sink in. Your government views you as a target for surveillance because you talk to other people on the phone. Welcome to the 21st century. She says liberals blamed Republican police state tactics back in 2006. Now some conservatives are happy to blame Obama's arrogance and overreach. These are at best accomplices to the crime. The criminal mastermind is us, the American people. The ones who demanded that our public servants do anything to keep us safe. It's like that last caller just said. And he's right, right? The next time someone blows up a parade, everyone's going to go, oh, why didn't you do the, you know, everything you had to keep us safe and to find out about that? I mean, she says, I won't even argue about whether the scanners, she's talking about the airport, what we go through with the airport. She was talking about being in a foreign country, and the person's like, what are you doing, taking everything off? Because most, you know, she was saying a lot of countries keep people safe without doing all
that. Exactly.
The scanners and the taking all your clothes off, and they're like, what are you doing? Keep all your clothes and your shoes on. She said, I won't even argue about whether the scanners, the undressing, the secret surveillance warrants, and the massive collection of data on American citizens or merely going about the business of being American citizens makes us safer. Anyway, she says the question is, how much protection is all this spying and searching and hurting giving us?
It's to make us submit and give up our rights.
She says, don't tell me another 9/11 because another 9/11 is impossible. The 9/11 terrorists couldn't repeat what they did because the response would be very different. Mm-hmm. The passengers would rebel. The government would scramble fighter jets to shoot them down before they could reach a bigger urban congregation. She goes on to say, of course we should be vigilant against terrorism. Of course we should be careful about letting potential terrorists into the country. Boston is a terrible tragedy, but it's not, I submit, the sort of tragedy that warrants treating anybody with a cell phone as a potential criminal. Megan goes on to say, of course you may say that you don't care if the government has your cell phone records because you're not talking to terrorists, which is what I just said. That's this where we get to the argument. What do you, if you're not guilty, what do you have to be worried about?
I'm not happy
about?
With that at all.
if it prevents one death. Anyway, she makes a good point. She said, as fine as that sounds, that can't be a reasonable guide for public policy. Outlawing cars would prevent a lot more than one death.
Absolutely.
But you can't, you know, on and on, right? Mm-hmm. Swimming pools, whatever. It's not enough to state the goal of preventing one single death. We must also think about the cost. And then she just, you know, puts it in historical perspective. 15 years ago, all of us would have laughed at the notion that the government would assert the right to know about every phone call made by ordinary American citizens suspected of no crime. That's something that East Germany would do, not the American government. How have we gotten so comfortable with the this kind of
fear? That's
state,
how,
right,
how
little,
it works.
In little more than a decade. My greatest fear is not that surveillance will turn out to be more widespread. My greatest fear is that we will find out they're spying on us and the American public will yawn. I think interesting perspectives on every side about this, you know. And the last caller said, I mean, we've had two callers already that said, I'm a huge liberal and I'm okay with this.
How do you feel about it?
I've got to say, it's, well, first of all, I'm a Libra.
Okay. Okay. So that gets you off the hook of having an opinion about it?
That's the problem, is when you have, like, people you respect on both sides of this saying the same thing, and you made the point, too. You said they see all the intelligence that we don't, too. And I'm not saying, let's just be a sheep and whatever the government tells us.
But they do know what's out there. They know more than we do.
I'm surprised they
can fall asleep at night.
Right. But I think
what
most people are in the middle on this, is what I'm saying, in terms of the sense of going, you know, yes, I want my freedom. I want to be an American. I also don't want to be, I want to be free not to be killed by terrorists.
Right.
So.
But the likelihood of that happening is minuscule.
Okay.
If there are over 200 million people.
Someone gets a nuke and, you know, nukes Burbank.
Right. What's the old saying? You're more likely to be killed by a terrorist, though, than get married when you're over 50.
Yeah.
Either way. Okay.
I mean, the Hanford plant is, on the verge of making the Pacific Northwest uninhabitable.
Roman in Chicago. Hello, Roman. Roman is a lawyer.
Hi, I'm a privacy lawyer, actually. States means basically nothing because we have very little privacy. But my point is that this isn't a very complicated issue. We have a Fourth Amendment. There is no reasonable, articulable suspicion. This is casting a net wider than needs to be, and it's a complete fishing expedition. Mm-hmm. And there is an infinitesimally small chance of being killed by a terrorist.
That's what I just said.
We do not have this kind of reaction to DUI deaths or gun violence or anything else that kills people in greater numbers. And the point I just wanted to make is that someone just mentioned East Germany. The EU, when they created the European Union, enshrined in the very first principle of the Treaty of Rome, the EU Privacy Directive, which is the equivalent of our First Amendment. And they said, your data belongs to you, not the state. And if you think about why they did that, the state was creating lists of people. And those, you know, the argument,
right,
if you didn't do anything wrong, you have nothing to worry about. Well, but what if you were Jewish? Or what if you were a Romanian? Or what if you were gay? You got on that list, you didn't do anything wrong, but you still lost your life.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
The European Union is battling terrorism just like we are, but they still, the data belongs to the individual. And that's why the European Commission is always up in Google's face, and they're always protesting these things ahead of us.
Right. Roman, I mean, that's what I was referring to in the Daily Beast article, too, is she was saying, you know, a lot of other countries seem to keep their passenger, their, you know, flyers safe without doing all of the stuff we do. But, you know.
It's not about keeping people safe.
But
it's about keeping people scared and easily controlled.
I'm glad that you can't bring a knife on a plane, because that did happen before, right, Roman? I mean, that's what I'm saying.
But
in America, we go, okay, well, maybe this is why there was such an outcry over the TSA saying, you know, okay, now it's okay to bring knives and novelty bats and whatever on a plane.
Right. Well, we invaded Iraq when all we really needed was box cutter shields.
Yeah,
you know?
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. Mm-hmm. Well, that's exactly right. And by the way, I need a novelty bat to ward off the bi-curious middle-aged women that tend to hit on me.
That could have come
planes,
in handy.
Right? just not to use, just, you know, as a defense, as a, you know, cautionary.
To, yeah, to hold it.
Implement. Yeah.
Look at. Don't get those lips any closer.
See? All right.
I could think of some other uses that you could have. But,
excuse me?
Yeah,
I bet mind. You could. All right, 45 minutes after. What?
Jim! Oh, my God!
You know what else this brings up for me? And we have to be very careful how we talk about this, but you and I have both had our privacy invaded.
Yes, we have.
By certain people in our life in outrageous ways. And so you go, why is that like outrageous, but not when the government does it? That is something that's right. If you've had your privacy invaded like that by somebody in your life, then you're like, what? And you're outraged. But you go, like Jim said in this piece, you know, that Megan McArdle wrote in the Daily Beast, it's as a country, we pretty much, except for Rush Limbaugh, has said,
but
okay,
the people who invaded our privacy didn't have access to all kinds of intelligence gathering.
Just wish we had drones back then. Okay, well, 45 minutes after the hour.
I felt like dropping a drone.
All right. Too much information? 45 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
There's a tea party in her pants, and you're invited. Call now, 1-800-STEP-12.
Stephanie Miller.
Hey! All right, this segment of the Stephanie Miller Show brought to you by Identity Guard, making it okay to trust again. Go to identityguard.com.
Really?
Particularly relevant right now.
Yeah.
Go get it. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. No, interesting question we were saying during the break, not to allude too much to our private lives, but I'm just saying, but everybody's experienced that to some degree, and how outraged you feel when someone invades your privacy personally, you know, but as a, you know, Megan McArdle's piece in the Daily Beast, as a, you know, country, we kind of go,
Yep.
It's when the government does it, it's like, that's what she said her biggest fear is just a yawn. Like, okay, this is what they have to do to keep us safe. And, you know, it's to what degree, like you said, if you trust what, you know, people on both sides of the aisle, those of us can go, well, I trust if Dianne Feinstein said it. And people on the other side go, okay, well, I trust it if
Saxby Chambliss says it.
Right. Or Lindsey Graham.
Yeah.
You know, because they see intelligence we don't see. But, you know. That's why it's a tough one.
Yeah, it's interesting. Laura Ingraham said that. Hold on, let me see if I can find it. She said maybe we should have. She said last night on the O'Reilly Factor, maybe we should have focused more on the Patriot Act and not laughed off the civil libertarians who were warning us about it.
Yeah.
Thanks. Wow. Now, Laura.
Now a warning. Is it another version of now that the black guy's doing it? I'm just asking. No, because this is what we say. Where were they during the, you know, the Bush administration?
Yeah.
And you're right. The civil libertarians have always set a pox on both houses, and you know, at least they've been consistent.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, you're going, oh, now you have a problem, right? I mean, and absolutely during the Bush administration, there wasn't a peep from the right side. Let's go to Diane in Missouri. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Diane. Or not.
Hmm.
Or maybe Kathy in California. Hi, Kathy. Uh-oh. Has something gone horribly awry? Hmm. Did I hit something on the phone? You are. Hello, Kathy.
Yeah, I'm here. This is my first time calling in, so I'm a little nervous.
Oh, don't be nervous.
I'm a big fan.
Oh,
so
thank you.
I just wanted to say what this is called. This is called data mining.
Right.
This is computer programs that run algorithms looking for pattern matches. And when the matches are found, they investigate the match. Someone calling someone overseas that is a known terrorist cell or a city where one exists. In order to see records, they have to get a court order. No person is reading or looking at your records. And a lot of companies do it to protect their intellectual properties.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So that's just what I wanted to say. And,
yeah, I got you. I think, you know, Kathy, this also comes down to, you know, to what degree you trust the government. Someone like Jim, you know, just genetically does not.
Because I know too much about the various assassinations to trust the government with anything.
Mason in Ohio.
Okay.
All right. But
Good morning.
I'm just saying the Fourth Amendment says you have to have probable cause. Where's probable cause in this?
Right. There's no probable cause.
Right. Hi, Mason.
Hi. Good morning. How are you, Sunshine?
Good. I'm good, Moonshine.
And you know, I usually agree with you right off the bat on almost everything, but I do think there's a difference between creeps who bug into your privacy that want to do it for personal reasons or mischievous reasons and the
right.
government doing to try to make a connection to bad people trying to do bad things.
They're not doing it just to be snoopy.
They're not like, oh, Mrs. Fox is doing Mr. Fox over in Mr. Yahoo's land. I mean, it just seems to me, too, that the timing of all this seems perplexing at best, because why now? This has been going on since 2001, and they're not collecting anything other than just phone numbers. I mean, seems like yet again we're making them out.
They're connecting incoming to outgoing phone number, you know, incoming to outgoing phone numbers, so they're connecting who's talking to whom.
Right, and it just seems like we're throwing another log on the political scandal scheme. You know, it's like the Bermuda Triangle of scandals. You know, here we now are looking at an NSA situation that's really not that big of a situation, and why now? What's happening if this needs to be brought out now? And that's the confusing part.
Well, yeah, Mason, that's true, right? I mean, as you know, all these Congress people and senators have been saying, this has been going on for 7 years.
Yeah, and our government's been collecting information in a whole lot of ways other than just phone numbers. I mean, we have to register driver's license, our cars, our houses, with insurance information. I mean, that's not even getting into the private sector and how they misuse data.
Well, I mean, this other caller, you know, earlier this hour, Mason, was saying, you know, they already compile your phone records. It's called your phone bill. You know, I guess you're right. I mean, it depends on what your perception is.
That's a private company having those records. That's not the government having those records. Your phone bill, that's a private company.
Yeah,
absolutely it is. And I think that makes a big difference, too. But all in all, I think what it's trying to do is it's a distraction to what we really need to get done. And it's pulling focus away from issues that we need to look at, like jobs, immigration, energy reform, I mean, tax reform. There's so much more that my tax dollar can do. And I don't appreciate this looking into things that don't really necessarily need to be a huge 27 hearing ordeal.
Mm-hmm. Yep, I hear you. That's what I mean. It's just, this is one of those things that doesn't necessarily follow specific partisan ideology, I don't think. Let's go to Max in L.A. Hey, Max, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Hey, good morning. What really bothers me is all of these callers who are comfortable with all of this. When it was George Bush giving these very same explanations, they had problems with it. If it were Mitt Romney as president giving these explanations, they would have a problem with it.
Yeah.
But because it's Barack Obama.
Well, Max, you know what? I've admitted that. You're right. When people say, oh, is it because you trust Obama? Yes, I think to some degree because people trust Obama.
But Obama's not going to be president forever.
You know, Bush lied us into an illegal war. So, no, we didn't trust Bush. But, I mean, you know.
And the real issue is that what we think of America and the idea of America is over. This is not going to end. This won't end if the next president is Hillary Clinton or Rand Paul or whoever. This is
if it's Rand Paul, it won't.
No, but I mean, it doesn't matter who the president is. It could be Bernie Sanders. It will never end. And that's what's sad to me. Our country is over.
I think they're trying to dismantle the entire notion of privacy. Just get used to the idea that there is no privacy anymore.
Yeah.
And that's frightening.
Yeah.
Well, kids put their entire lives on Facebook and Instagram and all of that.
Well, right.
To them, there's
that's a great
no
point.
Sense of privacy at all.
Right. No, but that's a great point. And maybe it started even with reality TV, and then you're right, in between the, you know, now Instagram and Facebook and
Vine and
right.
all the apps.
Right. Like no one has an unexamined or unexpressed thought anymore or emotion or private anything, right?
Right.
58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 6 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-1-2, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere, StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Executive producer, Crystal Boy, voice deity, Jim Ward, or me, Stephanie Miller. Why, lookies, who's in the New York Bureau? Yeah.
Greetings from the New York Bureau.
Yeah, here he is.
You've got a tropical storm coming your way.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Mercy. Andrea.
That's disgusting. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
Thanks, Obama.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
Storm Andrea Tontaros.
Good morning.
Yeah, right.
Good one, Jim Ward. Good morning. Hello, Mr. Lavoie.
Bonjour.
And hello, everyone out there in Steffland, all you disco trash.
You're doing a great job on the show, by the way. You're,
oh, yes, well, Viewpoint on the current television network every night.
It's too bad you're not telegenic at all. I mean,
no.
There's that Quasimodo guy again.
Yeah.
God bless you and your poor
eyesight,
Jim.
By the way, we can help you with that hump. What? Pardon me? Okay.
Perhaps thank you. It was a good week.
With that hump. What hump?
Okay.
Thank you, Jim. Yeah, we had Jeremy Scahill and Sister Simone and Elliot Spitzer, and it's just been nonstop fun all week.
Wow. Well, dive into the controversy over the,
Which one?
The NSA and the Verizon and the interwebs and the flying. The government is prohibited from indiscriminately sifting through the data it acquired. It can only be reviewed when there is reasonable suspicion based on specific facts that the particular basis for the query is associated with foreign terrorist organization, according to James Clapper. You know, it's interesting, John. We were saying people all over the... We just talked to Jackie Schechner. She's like, I'm
Fourth
fine
Amendment.
With it.
Fourth
no,
Amendment.
I mean, John, people on both different sides of the aisles and some people you wouldn't expect.
When this sort of thing happens, it tends to be the liberals and the libertarians who get upset about it, the true liberals and true conservatives. But, you know, I don't really think this was anything new. I mean, God bless Glenn Greenwald, but didn't we all already know this?
Right. Well, that's what, you know, a lot of the senators are saying. This has been going on for 7 years.
Except it's about to get worse with the Utah.
But isn't it great when it's something that could be an actual scandal, the Republicans defend the president? I love it. Everyone circles the wagons.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, that's what's interesting. I mean, Ron Wyden, a Democrat of Oregon, said, as a result of the disclosures that came to light today, we're now going to have a real debate in Congress and the country that's been long overdue, which we have started this morning on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Yes, we have. God bless Stephanie Miller and Rod Wyden, two real patriots and statesmen. But I think it's true, Steph. You're right. You know, if at this point we've learned in this term, if the Republicans are screaming about it, it's crap. If they're not complaining about it, it might be a scandal.
Yeah, right. I know Lindsey Graham said, I'm a Verizon customer. I could care less if they're looking at my phone records. And, you know, I'm just saying. There's some phone calls in there.
There's a treasure trove there.
Yeah.
What do you think of that?
Wait till they start having access to your Grindr account, Lindsey.
You see where you went there with that? Okay. But, he said if you're not getting a call from a terrorist organization, you have nothing to worry about. That's the argument people make, right? That go, you know.
Except that the Utah data center is going to be up and running in September. And that's just, it's horrifying. It says here, flowing through its servers and routers, and this is from an article in Wired magazine, stored in near bottomless databases will be all forms of communication, including the complete contents of private emails, cell phone calls, and Google searches, as well as all sorts of personal data trails. So,
You just have to accept that we have no privacy. When we had cell phones and the internet, it was amazing, and we thought, how can this be private? And 9/11 changed all that, and it ain't going back.
Now the Fourth Amendment is pretty much dead.
You know, Chris made a really great point before the top of the hour, John, and that... Yes. Well, I know,
Chris
and that's why it's so startling.
I know.
Wow.
Okay.
Because you're normally like human wallpaper.
I know.
But he said, you know, part of it, you know, and I was quoting a piece in the Daily Beast, John, about how, you know, Meghan McCardle saying it's our work, the culprits in it. The American people have essentially agreed with this, you know, after 9/11. And
I haven't.
Except for Jim and Russ Feingold. But but Chris was saying, is it part of like started with reality TV and now Facebook and Instagram and, you know,
Vine and everybody's
stuff is everybody's used to putting their stuff out everywhere. You know what I mean? So the concept, I think, of privacy itself,
the reasonable expectation of privacy has gone away.
I'll talk to you about Americans being civically disengaged right after we talk about Amanda Bynes. Can we do that first?
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah.
See, Americans can talk about both things.
Yes, we can.
Mm-hmm.
But I just thought this was particularly hilarious because
something
I know
for each hemisphere of the brain.
It doesn't seem like it's actually a craft that I've worked 25 years at, but Amanda Bynes is getting her own radio show. Listen, it takes a talented chimp to know how to use a box like this. takes a lot of years of training. Playboy Radio has offered him as a Hines a guest hosting gig.
We used to broadcast from those studios.
And execs apparently want her around full time.
Is a stripping stripper pole still there?
She'll make use of it.
Now.
Sex toys.
I mean, I'm a hot mess, but you know what I mean. Really? Amanda Bynes.
Well, hey, she's only been invited to guest host. I mean, Steph, you'll let anyone guest host your show.
Yes, I will, John Fugel's saying. What, they're saying that they want her full time as well, which is, that's the real scandal this morning, in my opinion.
Yes, well, that's now a step towards posing for the magazine, I guess. And that's keeping print alive, so God bless them.
There you go. God bless America. we were saying that, you know, the civil libertarians have been at least the only ones that were consistent, right, and have consistently set a pot
on
the liberals. Both houses.
And the liberals.
Only one liberal back in 2001.
Yeah, only
against the Patriot Act.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Rand Paul, predictably, said the National Security Agency's seizure and surveillance of virtually all of Verizon's phone customers is an astounding assault on the Constitution. After revelations that the IRS targeted political dissidents and the Department of Justice seized reporters' phone records, it would appear the administration has now sunk to a new low. Well, some people are going to use this because it's Obama. I mean, we were saying that Laura Ingraham said, maybe we should have listened to civil libertarians. It's like, now you're concerned. Mm-hmm. You were concerned when Bush was in, right?
Now a warning?
Concerned troll is very concerned.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're not allowed to complain. It's very, very simple. You know, it's just like Susan Rice and Condoleezza Rice. If you supported NSA Condi Rice, you don't get to criticize NSA Susan Rice.
There you go. Thank you. Dale in Sacramento, you're on with John. Hey, Dale.
By the way,
love you.
The 9/11 report said that this started out in San Francisco, California with AT&T because it was the largest carrier back then. But there have been about four amendments to try to roll it back. One of them was with Dianne Feinstein and Dick Durbin, and they've all been vetoed. So there has been an attempt to roll it back. And
No, that's what I'm saying is, I mean, John, that's what I'm saying. You can't say when one senator voted against it, Russ Feingold, that's not like, liberals were against it, right?
I was talking about Democrats in the Senate. There were liberals were screaming about this. I can show you some old Village Voice articles. I mean, people were upset about
the ones that mattered were in the Senate.
Exactly right.
Let's go to Shirley in Phoenix. Hi, Shirley. You're on with John. Hi, Shirls.
Hi, kids.
Hi.
Hey.
I want to go back to, I don't know who was it, Chris or Jim, mentioning that they know behind closed doors know more than we do.
People on the Senate Intelligence Committee, yes. They get all the reports.
I want to go back to the Iraqi war vote. Mm-hmm. Feinstein was in a meeting, so was Senator Levin. Mm-hmm. They both came out. He voted against it, and she voted for the Iraq war. Mm-hmm. I heard Senator Kerry on the floor, his speech. I heard Hillary Clinton, her speech. And the thing is, Barack Obama did win the presidency. The fact is, Levin, this is the thing that's always bothered me. Why did they listen to him? He was behind closed doors. He came out voting against the war.
Yeah, now, Shirley, I also think, we now know the whole story of the Iraq war and the intelligence and what they were shown. They were shown twisted and cherry-picked intelligence.
Well, the thing is, some Democrats, like Feinstein, voted for the war. Mm-hmm. Wasn't she in the same meeting as Levin was? I don't get that. I want to talk about invading my privacy. I don't have a cell phone. I don't have a computer. But my privacy is still being invaded by marketing on the phone. I'm still scratching my head. Why are they calling me and trying to sell me something? The fact is, I don't care. Stop reauthorizing it if you're unhappy. Fix it if you're unhappy. Whatever goes. The fact is, this is old news. Verizon was brought up during the Bush
administration. You literally don't have a cell phone or a computer?
No, I'm low tech.
Wow.
You know what? I'm happy.
I was going to say, you're in the 0.0001% of Americans.
You probably still have a typewriter.
I still write letters. I still make phone calls. And,
wow. That's true. You can avoid government surveillance by being a Luddite. That's like Jim said, clackety-clacky, old-fashioned typewriter.
Except for the tiny drones they can send into your house.
Right. Look at what you're writing on your old typewriter.
And they charge they send the drones up your ass, they charge you for the lube.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
Well, thank you for the call, and be careful out there among them English.
Sean in Washington, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Sean.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, go ahead.
I was
trying to decide whether or not I should be up in arms about this whole Verizon thing. And I was talking to my wife, who doesn't pay attention to, you know, politics and stuff. She just doesn't care. And I was talking to her about it, and she made a good point. She said, you know, we've grown up always assuming that the government has our information. That if you're talking on your cell phone, that they can listen to whatever it is that you're doing. So if you're trying to get a bag of weed, you were always worried about saying it, so you always had to say it in code. So the only difference I see is that now we know for a fact they're doing this. So that's just kind of what I had to say.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, look at how the, you know, John, this whole gun debate we've been having, how outraged the gun people are about, you know, the government having any information. And we're on the side of, I think they should know who has guns.
Mm-hmm. I don't want the government to know if I have a gun, because then there'll be a database and that violates my privacy. What, you want a DNA swab out of my mouth? Here you go.
There you go. See, smart, funny, beautiful. John Fugelsang, the man, the myth, the legend. 17 minutes after the hour, we continue more Fridays with Fugelsang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Holy cow, you just blew my mind.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
Information awareness?
Is that what we're getting?
Yes. Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show, 21 minutes after the hour, 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. Friday's with John Fugelsang. New job numbers, John. We added 175,000 jobs last month, slightly above expectations. We are unemployment ticked up 7.5 to 7.6. But again, better job numbers than expected.
Yes.
And as you say, you will tune into Sean Hannity to find out why that's bad.
Yes, I have to do that every night.
Right, later on, you will find out.
Anytime anything good happens, I need Sean to explain to me, if possible in the original German, why it's bad.
Right. And...
I see what you did there.
And we were just saying, I don't know what happened to all those people, John, that said this president, this socialist president, is so bad for the stock market, is going to tank, it's going to be horrible if we reelect the president.
Huh. Oh, yeah. Huh. Yes, this socialist who seems to really suck at socialism.
Right.
Ask Bernie Sanders.
Right. We've been talking about the NSA, Verizon, et cetera. Dianne Feinstein, John, yesterday, chairwoman of the Intelligence Committee, said the government must gather intelligence to prevent plots and keep Americans alive. She said that's the goal. If we can do it another way, we're looking to do it another way we'd like to. She said Congress is always open to changes, but that doesn't mean there will be any. So, you know, that's the debate this morning, right?
So, suck it, more or less, is what she said.
Right.
Basically.
She said, so okay. You can suck it.
Yes.
She did not say that. I don't believe Dianne Feinstein has ever said that in her life, but I could be wrong.
The oldest senator in the Senate said suck it.
Suck it.
Yeah. Of course she
is now.
She is now, after Frank Lautenberg has passed.
Right.
She is now the oldest serving senator.
Right. She probably said, go suck eggs. That's more... old-fashioned.
That's probably what she said.
Old-timey.
You know, this has been going on. This will continue to go on. There's so much spying they do that we don't know about. This is the new normal. Just don't assume anything you put on the Internet is private.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Well, I learned that the hard way. Diane in Missouri.
So did the rest of us.
Yeah.
You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Diane.
Hello, Stephanie. Hi. I love your show.
Thank you.
I'm thinking of all the stuff that people put on the Internet, and how boring it would be to look through that stuff. I mean, yeah, here's a picture of my dog, my cat, my kids.
Okay. Right, if they were looking at my stuff, they'd be like, really? How many times is cats who look like Hitler funny? Really? Cats who look like Wilford Brimley? How many? Just Cody the screaming dog again?
The thing is, they don't have people looking at this. They have, like, you know, big, huge computers sifting through, looking for patterns.
They cannot understand the finer comedic qualities of Cody, the dog who screams like Sam Kinison. Hair. Let's have a little more hair of the dog. It is funny.
But, you know, it's like the seatbelt law. I mean, the seatbelt law on the surface is great. It keeps us safe, right? It saves lives.
But the seatbelt law for some people is the cops have a license to pull you over whenever they want. And as long as you don't have a seatbelt on, sir, can I see what's in your trunk, please? Let's not forget how they took down Governor Spitzer. They did the same thing they did for Clinton. They went after him for financial misdeeds. But in the case of Governor Spitzer, they used the Patriot Act to spy on him. I'm pretty sure they weren't suspecting him of terrorism. And they couldn't find any financial misdeeds, so they got him for his private sex life. Exactly the same way they tried to take Clinton down. What the problem with these laws is, as much as they will keep some of us safe, they're also licensed to screw with you when they want to.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. You, and, you know, John, go ahead.
Right, is always screaming about the Second Amendment. It's the Fourth Amendment we need to be worried about.
Yeah.
Well, and John, you were talking about
the Fourth Amendment can't compensate for a small penis. I'm sorry, that was completely inappropriate. You should not listen to what I said.
All right. John, I was going to say, but you made the point that, you know, there's so much screaming about, like, non-scandals that we're missing what might be actually more important because, you know, they're still all over this IRS thing. And I literally, I do not need to see one more IRS employee line dancing. I really do not.
Oh, but you will, because playing victim is the proud conservative's favorite activity.
Ferris Fink, whose name is Ferris Fink.
Wow.
The deputy IRS.
I can't make fun of that.
He's the guy who played Spock in the Star Trek video.
You guys are mean.
Deputy IRS commissioner.
The fact of the matter is it's embarrassing. And I apologize.
Mm-hmm. Thanks, Spock.
You guys are mean.
Ferris Fink, once again.
I actually did not become aware of the massive expense until much later. I did not know what the expense was at the time of the conference that we were paying.
All right.
But then in this next soundbite, he kind of reverses that after some questioning by Representative Jason Chavez of Utah.
You signed off on a routing slip. You participated in meetings understanding the cost before the conference happened. Are you here just claiming no responsibility at this point?
Absolutely not. That's why I am here. I was aware of the cost when we did the estimated cost of 4.3 when we did the briefing for the two deputy commissioners.
I am outraged that government employees might be having fun while they're at work and using petty cash to film it.
That's what this is all about.
I know,
this
but that's
Jason
a lot
Chaffetz.
Of money.
It is a lot of money, and it's wrong, and it's a replay of last year's GSA porn scheme for the GOP, where Jason Chaffetz gets to put on his big boy pants and scream at the big bad IRS just like his followers want him to.
Yep.
It's got nothing to do with these accusations of victimhood by the poor, persecuted Tea Party. And can we just talk a bit about the IRS scandal that they're actually using this as a platform for, with the bureaucrats in Cincinnati targeting Tea Party groups unfairly? I mean, I know it's shocking that anything interesting could ever happen in Cincinnati, but you know, this is all these people.
You mean since WKRP? Because that was
exactly, yeah. Exactly. This whole so-called IRS scandal is so hilarious to me that people who, with 501c4 tax-exempt status, who want to hide the identities of their completely non-political donors, and they are screaming and screaming right now over this. And, you know, these guys, I know real teabaggers don't choke, but this is more or less the whole scandal is the Tea Party saying that we have been silenced. And the Tea Party is saying we've been silenced on thousands and thousands of radio and TV shows and in front of Congress.
Right.
Where they get
That's
in front
of
TV
silence.
Cameras to testify about how badly intimidated they've been as Tea Party members when none of them had their tax-exempt status taken away.
Oh, by the way, this just in, IRS approved more conservative groups than liberal groups selected for review, according to a new report. An analysis of a list of groups approved for tax-exempt status released by the IRS in the wake of its admission to targeting conservative groups for heightened scrutiny determined that of the groups approved, more than two-thirds were conservative. 122 of the groups were conservative.
Damn you, 40, Obama!
48 were liberal or non-conservative, and 6 remain unidentified ideology.
I'm just holding an impeached Obama sign with a Hitler mustache drawn on him. I'm not political.
Representative Elijah Cumming agrees with me. He's had enough of the line dancing.
I swear to God, I have looked at that video over and over again, and I swear I do not see the redeeming value.
No.
Yeah,
stop white people from line dancing. We have to get...
Line
stop
dancing.
Stop white people from line dancing.
Stop it. All right.
It starts at the weddings. Starts at the weddings.
Yeah, 29 minutes after the hour. Right back. More Fridays with Bugle Slang on the Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
That amazingly gorgeous girl who
who once made a really dorky American feel cool.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 34 minutes after the hour, Fridays with sexy liberal John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. John, we were just talking about the non-scandal that is the IRS thing. I was saying this new analysis shows the IRS approved more conservative groups than liberal groups, and that's exactly because of what you said, Jim, because of Citizens United, the explosion was on the right. There were a zillion of these Tea Party groups. So 122 of the groups were conservative that were approved for tax-exempt status. 48 were liberal or you know, non-conservative.
It's a conspiracy!
Right.
Damn you, Obama!
Emerge America is a progressive group that
was denied.
Right. And they had to name their donors and pay more taxes. And they didn't really whine about it.
Yep.
And that happened to zero conservative group.
Yeah. Tony in Tennessee on the NSA Verizon thing said, Steph, I would have made the same choice as President Obama. Imagine having to choose between another 9/11 or keeping the data mining in place. That's a tough choice for a mere human. I'd likely have made the same decision if Obama killed the program and then we suffered another attack. Obama would be facing impeachment for killing, for quote-unquote killing, a proven bipartisan effort to keep us safe. Imagine the loons at Fox, Rand Paul, and the others can complain they face no repercussions.
All true.
Yeah.
However, the day every Muslim throws down their arms and says, we love America and there's no more terrorism forever, they're still going to keep these rules in place.
That's right.
Vito in Chicago, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Vito.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
I'm good.
Good morning.
So I'm talking about the NSA as well, and I sort of put it in the bigger context of all the other laws and actions taking place over the last 10 years. I mean, if you're just associated with a group that's in question, you can be scrutinized. In Chicago, there were four groups, about 2 years ago they tried to indict for aiding and abetting terrorists, and they closed them down, confiscated their stuff, and they subsequently let them go because they had nothing on them. But is everyone on their mailing list now able to be scrutinized? You know, can they be, you know, questioned and detained indefinitely or interrogated in some enhanced way? I mean, it's pretty scary when you put it in context. And every day these organizations that might be social organizations or charitable organizations that are, for instance, supporting Palestinian groups, you know, tomorrow they can say, well, you're aiding and abetting a terrorist organization, and everyone on their mailing list suddenly who never thought they did anything wrong could be in trouble. And that's pretty scary.
I'm not a lawyer, but I don't think they can torture you for not donating to something. Do you, John?
Torture? No, they can't do that. Pretty sure they can't do that.
Okay, Catherine in California.
But there is the possibility for tons and tons of guilt by association, and they can kill you for that with a drone strike in Yemen or Pakistan.
Catherine in California, you're on with John. Hi, Catherine.
Good morning. Great show last night, John.
Oh, thank you.
I just wanted to say this is not American. This is Orwellian. They reported that the NSA has put a dragnet over Google and Apple and Microsoft and Yahoo, and they have all our email information, our photographs, all our private, if we do banking on the internet, all that information, and they say, oh, well, a FISA court would have to, look at it before we would go forward. But I'm sorry, that's why we have our constitutional rights. And I think it was Thomas Jefferson said, anyone that gives up civil rights in order for security deserves neither. And that's exactly true. They are chipping away at our constitutional rights. And having worked in the area of criminal law, I can tell you, you know, we have a right, you know, search and seizure. When people say, oh, yeah, go ahead, give police permission to search because they think they have nothing to hide, they end up being clients because we all have something to hide. And we have that right, this wireless search stuff all came about as a, you know, the fear mongering of, oh my goodness, you know, if we don't give up these rights, we won't be secure. And people jump and panic, just like they did with the Iraq War, and they don't stop and think. And once they take our rights away, we don't get them back. The media is the only one that's not been reporting about this. I don't think there are a lot of Americans that are not upset. Rachel reported on it one day last December before they went and voted on it. And they did it very quietly without anyone knowing. And both my California senators voted to extend it, and, right. and I generally agree with both of them on most everything, but mm-hmm. I was very angry. And Ron Wyden,
but,
even though
Catherine, what do you make of, you know, when Chris brought up last hour that they see intelligence that we don't see? Does that, if you trust,
well, Ron,
if you trust in someone like Dianne Feinstein, what, how does that make you feel?
Well, I also trust in Ron Wyden, and he also sits on the Intelligence Committee mm-hmm. along with her. Mm-hmm. And he brought this up before they extended it in December.
Right, and that makes you question, too. How can two people, you know, both on both sides of the aisle, same side of the aisle, see the same intelligence and have draw different conclusions? All right. In New Jersey, Governor Chris Christie has been found guilty of being criminally self-involved. He finds himself accused of hypocrisy and naked self-interest. So this special
Chris
election...
Chris Christie and naked should never be in
right,
the same sentence.
Chris Christie, you know, naked, think about it.
We had a lot of fun in New York with this story this week. Please proceed,
well,
madam.
Yes, he announced the special election to fill the seat that was held by Senator Frank Lautenberg. So he's having it ahead of, John, as you know, ahead of the normal November election. And
yep.
Democrats and Republicans, frankly, are pissed about it because it's clearly at odds with his budget-cutting reputation. It's going to cost the state $12 million. Mm-hmm. And as Chris said yesterday, after Hurricane Sandy, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
right. So some say Christie clearly doesn't want to be on the same ballot with a strong Democrat for Senate, say Newark Mayor Cory Booker, a rising star in the party, for fear that could boost a black and Democratic turnout. Uh-oh. Oh, no.
Yep.
And deny Christie the blowout victory that would set him up to run for president, right?
Well, yeah.
And he's got, again, Dick Armey, whose original name was...
Penis Air Force.
Right. The Tea Party leader. He's called the November, the special election...
Sorry, it's Schwanz Coast Guard.
Right. Pardon me. debilitatingly stupidity. He predicted it would backfire with Republicans because Christie was stressing fiscal responsibility. So he has the Tea Party and Democrats calling foul, right?
You wicked woman, why do you make me agree with Dick Armey this early?
The Star Ledger said it's a shameless move that will waste at least $12 million and risk the integrity of the vote.
Well, Chris Christie doesn't, you know, the Tea Party hates him, so they're going to hate anything he does.
Right.
And despite the fact that they have no one who can beat him in 2016. But this is a side where everyone's right. The liberals and the conservatives are all right about this. Chris Christie boasts of cutting $86 million from the budget of New Jersey, which was all on the backs of you-know-who. Rich people didn't have to suffer any austerity under this guy.
Right.
I mean, he killed a tunnel that would have linked North Jersey to Manhattan that would have been so good for the economies of both states. But he killed it because he's such a fiscal hawk. And then this is exactly what you're talking about. You've got Cory Booker. The voters could turn out on Election Day to vote for Cory Booker. But Chris Christie doesn't want that. And I think he thought he was helping the GOP by making sure that as many Democrats, and that's you-know-who, stay home as possible on Election Day, thinking they'll come out in October. They're not going to come out and vote twice. But here's the thing. Under the charter, Chris Christie had to set this date between 70 and 76 days from the time he made the announcement. So he could have waited 18 days to make the announcement and then had this election on Election Day anyway, but instead it's $12 million per party, so it'll probably just be $12 million this time. That's more than Chris Christie spends on Lipitor in a whole month.
One Democratic state representative said it's as if he gave the residents of this state the finger. And, you know...
Totally is. Well, it's really Democrats, and it's really Cory Booker voters. It's folks in Newark. It's black folks. It's labor. It's anybody who might turn out to vote for Cory Booker. And what Chris Christie is hoping is these folks are going to go through the trouble of voting. And it's not an uncontested primary. Cory Booker's got some competition. He'll raise the most money, but Pallone has got a good machine. And then these folks won't want to show up and vote a second time a month later in November. And you know what? He might be right. It's hard for working people to get 2 days off of work to go vote.
Mm-hmm. Kathy in Colorado, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hello, Kath.
Hi, Stephanie, my media goddess.
Yes, thank
you. Isn't she?
I'm 65, and I'm a child of the peace and civil rights movement in Memphis in the South. My FBI file was larger than the Nation magazine's file in the 70s. I was active when Dr. King was killed with the Union, and I just wanted to put, again, more context in all this. My telephone was tapped, and the FBI and the Memphis police, because the FBI really concentrated on Memphis, Seattle, and Chicago, and I am suffering anxiety from what's going on now with the national security stuff.
And yeah, no, I mean,
to
and
put
that's
it in context,
yeah.
And everything's changed. It's more technical, but it just sends fears down my spine.
Yeah, Kathy, that's an interesting political, perspective. You know, based on people that lived through the '60s, John. I mean, that's
Can I read a headline from USA Today?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The NSA has been secretly collecting the phone call records of tens of millions of Americans using data provided by AT&T, Verizon, and Bell South. The NSA program reaches into homes and businesses across the nation by amassing information about the calls of ordinary Americans, most of whom aren't suspected of any crime. This is from USA Today, May 11th, 2006.
Mm-hmm. Oh, there's the
it
twist.
It ain't new.
Yeah. No, well, that's what they were saying, a lot of the senators yesterday.
Yeah. Yep,
it's new to the American people, the knowledge.
Yeah. And when they said yesterday that it was just Verizon, I'm not buying that for a second.
Yeah, the biggest thing that I got from that is I'm like, someone still has Bell South? Really? Okay.
But in September, when the Utah Center goes operational, things are about to get a lot hairier.
Well, that's what the Washington Post is reporting on this morning with the PRISM program.
Mm-hmm. Patty in Florida on Chris Christie, not literally because that'd be gross. Hi, Patty.
No, it would be nasty because I happen to know the man.
Ah!
Let me quickly say, yes, I used to be a teacher in New Jersey and used to live in New Jersey, and then we moved down to Florida. I'm in Florida now. And Chris Christie, well, his wife, Mary Pat, who everyone seems to love, well, let's just put it this way. I know them because Mary Pat worked for my husband. Just saying, and Chris Christie's out to get the teachers.
Yeah,
hates the teachers. We go out to dinner. Never had anything good to say about a teacher. And I'd be sitting right there, the two of them. Their kids are in private school, of course.
Yeah.
And just nasty, nasty things. He is not for the working man.
I just spoke to a union this week down in San Diego, OPEIU, and we were talking about this, that, you know, despite the fact that he worked with the president and they worked well together on Hurricane Sandy, he is not on our side.
Yeah.
You know, he's on a lot of issues.
But he does believe women who terminate pregnancy should go to jail, so there's that.
Well, it's all smoke and mirrors. I'm going to tell you this right now. They put on a good front. They work with everyone. She works with everyone. But they are just out to get one, because he had an issue with the unions in Morristown, with the plumbers union in Morristown, which is a small town in New Jersey, and fought with them. I mean, they're not who they present themselves to be.
Yep.
I can just tell you that right now.
Mm-hmm.
And
I hear you,
I'll
Patty.
Do anything, and my husband will do anything to get it out there, because they're not good people. I mean, they're not.
You won't have to. You won't have to. Chris Christie's going to go so far to the mean right in the next 2 years to try to make these jackals like him. It's going to be nothing but entertainment to watch. The one thing to remember, he always has been and always will be a much better debater and public speaker than Hillary Clinton. And let's hope the Republicans don't figure that out.
46 minutes after the hour, back with the remaining moments of Fridays with Fugelsang on The Stephanie Miller Show.
Call the political party line now, 1-800-STEP-12. Stephanie Miller. The radio. Living it up, oh yeah. Friday night. Living it up, at last. Living it up, oh yeah. Friday night. Living it up, at last.
Yeah. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 51 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number toll free for anywhere. Might you bring me my personal comedy, Jesus?
Oh, yeah.
Hello, John Fugelsang.
Hello.
I'm not sure if you have any information on this. What did Jesus say about homosexuality?
Why, it's funny you should say that, Stephanie.
Why is that, John?
Well, because he didn't actually say anything to condemn it ever once ever. He said you've got to be nice to people, especially the people you don't like.
And maybe make wedding cakes for them? Is that what Jesus would have said?
Well, it's true. There's nothing in the entire New Testament, and I'm including the book of Romans, which Christians love to take out of context, that says that consensual same-sex relationships between adults is wrong.
Right. I'm sorry. Could you take your organ out? Thank you.
Oh, please.
A gay couple is...
What was that motion you gave me?
I was trying to signal organ without it being too obvious for the television cameras.
That was totally obvious.
Okay, John,
when was the last time
you could have done this?
You held an organ.
He wouldn't know that that's an organ.
Yes.
Trust me, he knows. Okay. Anyway, John.
Yes.
A gay couple is pursuing a discrimination complaint against a Colorado bakery, saying the business refused them a wedding cake to honor their Massachusetts ceremony. This is one of the problems, see whether there being different laws in different states. Alleging the owners have a history of turning away same-sex couples. As more states move to legalize same-sex marriage and civil unions, their case highlights a growing tension between gay rights advocates and supporters of religious freedom. I'm sorry, religious freedom should not include the ability to discriminate against people. Should it?
Well, especially since your religion doesn't allow you to do that. They are not Christian. These are fake Christians. They are doing this because they don't like gay people and they're using the Bible for cover.
Thank
you. They don't get to call themselves Christians anymore.
The ACLU representing them, they said, we're all entitled to our religious beliefs and we fight for that. But someone's personal religious beliefs don't justify breaking the law by discriminating against others in the public sphere. And that's exactly the point, right? That Colorado, by the way, has civil unions, but the civil union law does not provide religious protections for businesses. Because of what you just said, because Democrats argued that provision would give businesses a cover to discriminate.
Exactly, and you can't discriminate against people. It's a free country. If you believe in liberty, you don't believe in discriminating.
Oh, there you go. Okay, let's go to David in San Francisco. You're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, David.
Hey, morning, Steph and Mooks. You know, I was interested in the cost of this spying operation. If you remember, I think in Utah, they're building this massive facility.
Yeah.
And this is supposed to basically spy on everything. And the idea that they're going to essentially steal all of our data and do it for a dozen years with a budget that was top secret. And we the taxpayers, don't have the right to find out about this, about how much it'll cost, who the contractors are, how it'll be disseminated, all of this sort of thing. By the way, what's his name? Daryl Issa is on that committee. The, you remember
the
11th?
I feel safe.
Yeah, I feel much better now.
Right, right. But the I would think that the best way to deal with this is to deal with the cost, that these guys have now got to give our money back. They stole our money by stealing our identities, by stealing our information. And so we should deal with it on a fiscal angle of personal responsibility. It's funny, actually, I got on Brownie's show. He's got a show in Denver now. And I got him to discuss whether or not he's going to do any personal responsibility for losing Katrina and paying back the $171 billion for that loss.
Really? What did he say about that?
Oh, he kind of screamed like Glenn Beck and hung up.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought, that he has Glenn Beck's phone. I'm imagining he'd be a little touchy about that. Kevin in D.C. Oh, yes.
It's always funny.
He sounds like Cody, the screaming dog.
Yeah, he does.
Always funny.
Kevin in D.C., you're on with John. Hey, Kev.
Good morning, lovely stuffy boy. Way to bring me up and then bring me down momentarily with that shriek.
Sorry.
Pardon me. But how you be, Alabaster Angel? This is my example, John. When we spoke a few weeks ago when Stephanie was off and you were kind enough to bring, you first kindly brought up the fact of the pleasure of my kissing her that day.
Yes.
But then
we got
a little bit of dispute. I was saying that this NSA situation is a perfect example of what I, you know, when I talk about thinking a few steps ahead. I was arguing with Republicans back in the day. I said, when we didn't even know there would be a President Obama, and I said, what if a Hillary Clinton, a President Hillary, you know, can take advantage of this warrantless wiretapping? And they go, oh, I'm not, blah, blah, blah. And now here we are. Some of them are screaming that Obama does it. And like an earlier person said, we're stuck with it because if Obama was to strike this down and something happened, you know, it would be all over. And this is why I wasn't against Harry Reid not using nuclear option when we discussed this.
I respect that argument. But, you know, the flip side of it, and again, there's no right or wrong here, but the flip side of it is when Barack Obama signed NDAA into law and libertarians and liberals flipped out about that, he said, look, I'm never going to abuse this. Well, we're not worried about you abusing it, Barack. We're worried about President Ted Cruz abusing it because he would once you were out.
Absolutely. That's my point. I wish that this was never done, because back then, when people were, the Cretans were perfectly fine with a President Bush. At the time I said, what if you'd have a problem with the President Hillary? I don't think Obama, I don't think any human walked in water, but now that it's here, unfortunately, by not thinking about the possible consequences, now we're stuck with it. So.
Well, I don't like you calling them Cretans, because I'm a Cretan and I take offense at that.
You're from Crete?
I had no idea. I had no idea.
I'm Greek and a lowlife.
But you know what I do? I can't believe that Jim Ward actually commented on how startlingly handsome you are on the Viewpoint television program every night here on the current television network.
I didn't quite put it like that.
Well, just saying. You know.
Why, thank you. It's always a pleasure to come back here and join my old friends.
All right. All right.
The little people.
Exactly. He does do a fabulous job. Don't miss
it. Yeah, yeah. And I'll have a lot more free time as of August. Always a pleasure.
Well,
yeah. Won't we all? Now, if you'll excuse me now, I have to go plant a garden at the apocalypse. Have a great, great day and a great weekend.
All right, honey. 58 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show. It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. Happy Friday. Representative Adam Schiff here to talk about lots of current stuff right in the studio here with us in about a half an hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. StephanieMiller.com. Check it out. You can email us all there. Like Matthew did with kind of an unsolicited testimonial meets a love letter. I don't know what you would call that.
Okay.
Steph, a friend of mine, a single hardworking mom of two beautiful daughters, 4 and 13, recently had discovered fleas on her cat. Oh, eek. Oh, no. She tried the traditional toxic vet treatments twice, had her apartment bombed twice, but because she lives in an apartment, her indoor cat kept getting fleas. Her daughters were in tears when the only financial option left was to get rid of their beloved family pet. Then I said, why not try that Cedarside product advertised on the Stephanie Miller Show? OMG! I know this sounds like a commercial, but it worked! I'm a pretty big guy, but there were tears in my eyes when the girls were able to keep that cute, furry little guy, Egwin.
Egwin?
Egwin the cat.
Egwin?
Egwin.
Okay.
I can't thank you enough. You and
not
Cedarside.
Not casting judgment on the naming of the cat at all, but Egwin?
Egwin is with his family.
Okay, good.
I can't thank you enough. You and Cedarside truly saved this family. Thank you so much, Matthew. P.S. His name was Edwin. But when my friend's cute baby daughter couldn't pronounce Edwin, she was two. It came out Egwin, and that's
Egwin. Egwin.
I like the name Edwin for a cat.
I like it, too.
Yeah.
You and I are aficionados of the...
Human names for
weird
pets.
Weird human names.
I wanted to name my cat Paul, but he came with
right.
Name Jazz.
And thus, Fred.
Right, right.
And Max.
Uh-huh, and Chester. Yeah, Chester.
Right. Oh, my baby boy.
Yeah.
All right, so lots of stuff, too. And then, of course, I have now I have Cody, the dog that screams like Sam Kinison. I love you, Cody. Really? Okay, let's do it again. Let's have one more hair of the dog. Come on, you can't have enough. It's Friday. Cody! Cody, what? All right. I was on the CNN last night.
You were on the Erin Burnett.
Right. Okay.
What?
There was a new study out saying that... women, I don't know, women bosses can't be cheerful. If they're not thought of as cheerful, they can't be promoted or something. And you two know it. I eat a big bowl of bitchy every morning, so
sure.
Don't you know it.
I know it.
Carnation Instant Bitch, my breakfast of choice. But earlier this week, we were talking about this Michelle Obama incident, and, I was just saying, it's just not appropriate. I don't care who you are or what the heck all the First Lady of the United States when she's trying to talk. And we played the clip, and the woman was right in her face, yelling. And anyway, there was a good piece about this, that this is what always happens with the right wing. It's like, oh, angry black woman, angry black woman.
Boy.
I'm
yeah.
sure Fox News was all over that. Ooh. And this is why I think people love her, because she's real. If someone got in your face and was yelling, interrupting you when you were invited to a private home to speak, you'd probably say something, too.
That's right.
Yeah. Anyway, this is what, who wrote this? Let's see. Sophia A. Nelson. The angry black woman, Michelle Obama and me. Time for another flurry of accusations that the First Lady's a militant, angry black woman. And she just, it's an interesting perspective from a black woman's point of view. She said, because she was recalling, remember the cover of The New Yorker?
Mm-hmm.
When she was, sporting a large afro, a machine gun, wearing militant 70s clothing. The cover story was in response to her saying she was proud of her country for the first time, which, of course, was totally taken out of context and misconstrued. And Bill O'Reilly, Rush Limbaugh immediately called her an angry black woman.
That's right.
Anyway, she said, like millions of black women in America, I was ticked, yes, angry even. I was appalled at how she was being vilified and attacked. Yeah, not to mention that there's, just the slightest subtle strain of racism under it. So here we are again. Michelle Obama, now in the second term, finds herself smack dab in the middle of yet another controversy about how she reacts to what she does not like or when she feels she's being disrespected. Nothing that this woman has displayed over the past 5 years remotely resembles angry. I agree. She finishes by saying, the not-so-subtle message is this. Be careful of the angry black woman, because you never know when she might go off on you. It keeps us in our place. My hope is that Obama will continue to speak her mind, honor herself, stand her ground in such a way that helps the rest of us do the same. I agree.
You sound angry.
Screw you. All right, and this from the Daily Beast today, Festival of Misogyny, Samantha Power follows Susan Rice on the confirmation hot seat.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the Republican war on women men are going to have a hard time. John Kerry had no trouble, as you recall, breezing through his Senate confirmation. Democrats expect to raise hell if Susan Rice gets rough treatment. And by the way, so they're pissed. Oh, are they pissed about Susan Rice?
Yeah, they are.
It's so great. The Daily Beast writing, it didn't take a political genius to foresee the Republican outcry over Obama's choice of U.N. Ambassador Susan Rice to be his new national security advisors. Republicans know when they're being given the finger, and Obama made no effort to pretend that Rice's appointment wasn't a satisfying bit of payback for her torpedo nomination to head the State Department. Rice's was the one scalp the GOP could claim over Benghazi now that she's come roaring back, this time in a role that Republican lawmakers can't do a damn thing about. Of course, they're spitting bad. But while Rice may have slipped beyond the GOP's embittered grasp, Obama's choice to replace her, Samantha Power, is preparing to sail straight into it as the president's choice to succeed Rice at the UN, a role that does demand senators' advice and consent. And I'm going to guess will result in Lindsey Graham vapors.
Sure.
Will gender play any role in her confirmation here? Senate Republicans will beat up on Power because she's... It's not to suggest that it will be because she's a woman. The assumption around Washington is that Republicans will beat up on Power as a proxy for Rice, for recently decamped Hillary Clinton, and most of all for Obama himself. But the fact that Power, like Rice, is a woman operating at the highest levels of the still male-dominated foreign policy establishment makes a prolonged, nasty Republican assault a risky play for a party that has its problems with female voters for a while now. Don't you think? A party that so assiduously earns itself a reputation as anti-woman should perhaps expect to find life increasingly complicated as the ladies take charge. Tea in the heat. Tea in the heat. Can't wait for that. Can't wait for those confirmation hearings myself. By the way, how much do we love us some Deval Patrick? We've had him on the show, Governor Patrick of Massachusetts.
That's right.
Now I love him more.
Why?
He admits he got really drunk after the Boston Manhunt was over.
Okay. I love that he's honest.
I would
about
too.
It.
I was a little tense that day. He, a rare admission by a politician, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick, said he got quite drunk.
It was by himself, though.
Yes, the night after suspected Boston Marathon bomber Zohar.
Zohar.
I bet you couldn't pronounce
Zohar.
Those names after he was.
Yeah.
Did you see we got Zohar?
Karen.
We got Vernon. yes, after he was captured, remember the day-long manhunt. He opened up about the aftermath of the terror attack, saying he was relieved not only that was captured, because he could fully do away with the city's lockdown. Remember, the entire city
was locked down.
Right, exactly. So, just saying, okay.
Which made it interesting for some one-night stands trying to sneak out in the morning. They couldn't, because the city was on lockdown.
Right, right.
There was an article in Esquire about that.
It had to delay your walk of shame.
Yes. There was an article in Esquire about that, about one-night stands who are trapped.
Evelyn in South Carolina, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show. Hi, Evelyn. Hello. Thank you.
I'm from the 70s, and we've always thought that the government was there. Wasn't sure, but we thought that. But what I'm so curious about, why is it all of a sudden at one time there's so much a leak? And we've always said, beware of the messenger.
Mm-hmm. Well, Chris, you were saying somebody said on Facebook they wondered if these leaks were on purpose to get
coming Congress from the Obama administration to light a fire under Congress's ass to do something about the Patriot Act.
Yeah. Dave,
because plenty of people are mad about it now, including conservatives.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Dave in Minneapolis. Hi, Dave.
Good morning, Mama. You know, there's a couple points with this stuff that I think one of the things we're dealing with right now is an incredible sense of disillusionment. Those of us were that were so excited about the Obama administration, we had this sort of, I think, hyper-elevated view of what it was going to be like and how it was going to be and how it was going to be so much different. And we find ourselves so entrapped in the mire of all this stuff that's going on. And so, like, listening to you and you're struggling trying to get your head around this and anybody else's calls about this and just, what does this mean? What has happened to our vision? What's happened to our hope? You know, it's all gotten trapped in all this crap. But the other thing that concerns me about this, and I'm really concerned about the fact that everybody, no matter who you are, you know, your calls are somehow being collected. That's all seen as, well,
I get the weird sense that someone is listening to this conversation right now, Dave.
Hello? Hello? My name is Bob Smith. Bob Smith. Yeah, that's my name. Anyway... my name is John Fugelstein.
Yes,
because I look just like him.
Right.
Anyway, there's all this objective information being collected, but it's being viewed through potentially very subjective eyes. So there's, you know, you've got people looking at numbers and where it's going, and if I don't happen to like that organization, I don't happen to believe that they're all they say they are, I can start interpreting that information any way I want. It's kind of like what that caller earlier was saying about Chris Christie. He doesn't like teachers, and so he's going to do everything in his power to try to subjugate them and get them, you know, sort of written out of his realm of concern.
And it was interesting with John's comment about the bakers that were denying a gay couple a cake. You know, and a lot of people think this religious freedom thing is just it's a shield to hide your bigotry to say I don't like
gay
people.
Exactly.
I mean, you can say you're any religion, you know, under the guise of you can say the flying spaghetti monster does not want me to bake a cake for gays.
Right. Exactly. And the pharmacist saying, "Oh, I won't give out birth control." Because I don't believe in it. I mean, I'm trying to figure out why dispensing anything or giving them a cake to somehow is suddenly going to get in the way of your own particular practice of your faith.
What does that have to do with your personal relationship with whoever you're, you know, you worship?
As Jesus said, thou shalt not make a cake for the Moes.
Right, for the Moes. All right, thank you, Jim. 17 minutes after the
hour. Actually, he never did.
Specifically said Moe's. Right, 17 minutes after the hour, right back on the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is too weird, man.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 22 minutes after the hour. This hour brought to you by SodaStream. Fun. Wow. Hooray. Okay.
Do you find it in the Beyond section of Bed Bath & Beyond?
Yes, indeed you do.
Where Christopher Walken is.
Yeah.
This red high tops. Wow.
All right. Representative Adam Schiff on his way in studio here in just a moment. Paula in Indiana on the wiretapping. Hello, Paula.
Hello, good morning to you.
Good morning.
Look, you know what? Everybody's talking about the foreign threat, and nobody's really looking at the domestic threat. About 200 militia groups have formed since President Obama has been elected. So we really don't know what they know and exactly what they're looking at. The same thing with drones. We really don't know what all they know.
Right.
And I think that wide scope may be more domestic than it is foreign.
Well, yeah,
well,
that's
Janet
the problem.
Janet Napolitano warned about that.
We don't know. Yeah.
For even mentioning it.
This is what's one of the good reasons for us being up. How many floors are we up? We only get the occasional window washer outside our window.
Yeah.
Did you see a guy try to kill himself outside the Today Show?
Yeah, I saw
with
that.
With a knife.
Tried to slit his wrists.
Right.
In front of the windows there.
Mm. Yeah. The anchors were moved inside. The crowd evacuated the man getting medical attention and is okay, but yeah. Yikes.
Yeah, and Matt Lauer had to report on it.
Yes.
from the scene.
Thank God they just stick me in a little closet when I go on Aaron Burnett. I don't have to be near any kind of humans.
Is it really just a little closet? They don't sit you on the set there?
It's a little closet set.
Oh. You. That's glamorous.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Justin Bieber's going to a space on Virgin Galactic. He's the latest famous name to secure a seat on the next, I guess, when are these starting? The commercial space missions?
Well, it's not a mission, really.
Well, right, no, it's not a ticket. A ticket on Virgin Galactic costs $200,000. Yikes. You get free drinks with that? I wonder what.
Rich Uncle Moneybags could pay right? for you to go up there.
Sure, sure. Guess what? I'm not sure. I don't know how long a flight this is, but guess who you'd be on the flight with? Ooh. Other confirmed famous passengers include Ashton Kutcher, Kate Winslet, Leonardo DiCaprio, Russell Brand.
Russell Brand, who's still not funny in Zero G either. Right. Look at my hair.
Wait a minute.
It's floating around.
So, Quate.
It's Kate, funny, isn't it?
Kate Winslet and Leonardo DiCaprio.
Right. Right.
Oh,
King of the world.
Wow.
Look at me. I'll be on the front of the plane.
No.
She's going to kick him off the spaceship.
Right.
On a door.
There's not room for both of us. Get off. A door.
Yeah, your heart will go on.
Angelina Jolie, Brad Pitt, Katy Perry, Stephen Hawking, and Tom Cruise.
Walk into a bar.
Right. I'm just guessing. I don't know how many hours that flight is, Chris, but I would be somewhere. I would be between Tom Cruise and Russell Brand and... that's annoying.
Watch this. Look what I could do with my hair in zero G. God. It's funny. Look how funny I am. Ha ha.
If
look,
I was
to speak with little stops and all that.
If I were stuck anywhere...
Russell Brand, we don't get it.
No.
I don't get why it's funny.
I wish Great Britain would stop trying to push him on us. Just take him back. Please.
Stephen Hawking is funnier than Russell Brand.
Yes.
Stephen Hawking, I could sit next to him. But if you're stuck between Russell Brand and Tom Cruise, you are screwed. Really? He'd be being suppressive and glib, and then he'd be pretending he's funny. I think it's just because he has a British accent. He thinks somehow it's funny. I don't
look at me. I have a British accent. I've little stops and all that.
I can't think of one thing that he did in America that was successful. Not one thing.
Get me to the Greek, I was saying, I guess.
I don't even think that was a hit. So.
All right. Matt Damon.
Get Me to the Greek, starring Stephen Hawking.
Now, that would be funny.
That would be funny. That would have been funnier. After counting calories for years to stay in action hero shape, Matt Damon has vowed his next screen role will be donut friendly. He's admitted to pals he's sick to death of dieting. He says he wants to find a farmer's where he doesn't have to count every single calorie.
He looked pretty good in Behind the Candelabra.
Baby boy looked pretty hot.
How many
with
months?
With the thong tan line. That's the last thing I needed to see on Matt Damon.
Oh, when he got out of the pool and, like, straddled Michael Douglas on a chaise lounge. Oh! I was like, yikes. Oh, Lord.
Sleep tight, baby boy.
Oh, I gotta see that again. How about the one where he's behind Michael Douglas and Michael Douglas is doing breaking the...
Yeesh.
What's the thing? The popper?
Poppers.
It's like, it makes it better. Wow, that was explicit. Okay. All right.
It's creepy, but very well done.
Yes, right. It was.
Do not take Diana Ross's picture if you see her at the airport. Just do not do it.
Okay. Why not?
She's not a fan of pictures at airports. At JFK the other day, a guy on an escalator ran in front of her to try to take a picture with his iPhone. The singer did not react well.
Uh-oh.
Which is not as bad as London Heathrow Airport in 1999. She was annoyed when a female guard tried to do a full body search, so Ross decided she would frisk the guard back.
I remember that.
Which they do not take kindly to.
No, they don't.
No. She was arrested.
That was before 9/11.
Right. Right. They do not appreciate being frisked back.
No.
No.
And in other news.
Yes?
The German language has lost one less long word. The longest word in the German language has now been retired.
Oh.
It is Rindfleisch Etikettierungsüberwachungsaufgabenübertragungsgesetz, or Law Delegating Beef Label Monitoring. That was one word.
Well, yeah. That's I feel the loss
and
already. Thanks, Joe. Thanks for that.
We hardly knew ye.
Right.
Rindfleisch Etikettierungsüberwachungsaufgaben
übertragungsgesetz. That's going to stink. Right. Thank you for that, Jim. Wow, that was a random German thing. Hello, Bill in Florida.
Good morning.
Hi.
Happy Gay Pride Month.
Oh, thank you. All right, go ahead.
Are you planning to attend any events throughout the country?
I am not. I am not part of any group of any kind. No one invites me anywhere.
She doesn't like crowds either.
No, no. I'm a skittish, elderly shut-in. 29 minutes after the hour, Representative Adam Schiff next on The Stephanie Miller Show.
say this about
Stephanie Miller.
But I think she's crazy.
No thinking. 34 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number, toll free from anywhere. That's it, Chris. I've officially turned on the gays.
Look what the homosexuals have done to me.
I realize I'm not going to be able to get to my spinning class on Sunday morning because of the gay pride parade.
That's right.
Yeah.
Whatever will you do?
Exactly.
Maybe ride your real bike.
What? That's crazy.
Well, work out in your basement gym.
Yeah, we were suggesting that you take your bike to the spinning class. You won't have the problems with traffic. And you're like, I'm not doing that.
That's crazy.
I'm not riding my bike to a bike riding class.
That's ridiculous. That makes no logical sense. All
or
right.
We could ride there and ride back. And
all right.
Done.
All right. Hey, looky who's in town to wave in the Gay Pride Parade. It's Representative Adam Schiff of the great state of California. Good morning, Representative. How's your waving arm doing?
My waving arm is ready and will be in fine form on Sunday.
We were laughing that oftentimes we see you in the TV there, and now it's right. And now here you are. You've popped straight out of the television.
I'd much rather make the long trip to the studio from my house, which must be 200 yards.
We appreciate the extra effort. Representative, obviously all morning we've been talking about this, the NSA, the Verizon, people are concerned, and yet it's one of the tough issues, isn't it? You've got people sometimes surprisingly on either side of the aisle having different opinions on this. What is your opinion?
Well, it is a very tough issue and most difficult for those of us on the committee because we're so limited in what we can say about it.
Right.
What I've been encouraging people to do, the Director of National Intelligence, the DNI, last night issued a statement that was about the best description that's publicly available. And I'm sure he did it very grudgingly because, these leaks are extremely problematic from a public safety point of view. But that contains, some of the best information that I'm allowed to discuss. And it sets out the limits. There's no content in terms of people's conversations. There isn't subscriber information. But I understand why the public is concerned, and I think the president is right. We ought to have a discussion about this. In the Intelligence Committee, we're going to do a reexamination of the program. And but I can understand the public's concern.
Somebody just wrote me and was saying, the Fourth Amendment says there has to be probable cause. And I think James Clapper, who you just mentioned, I mean, he said that, right, that there has to be probable cause. I think the problem is people are not sure if they can trust that or whether they're just sifting through everybody's phone records.
Well, and I don't blame the public. There's been so many broadsides against the government, and the government's done a lot of things wrong. That the public confidence in the government is probably at an all-time low. And so at times like this when it's difficult to discuss openly how a program works, that's when you need public confidence, and we don't have it right now. So it's a big problem. But I think, I wish I could have an open discussion about how it worked, and then we could more intelligently discuss the pros and cons and where the real sacrifices are in terms of how much are we willing to do for security. There is no bright line here. I agree with the DNI that these are court-approved processes. We're not acting outside of the law. That's very important to all of us.
But I think that's people's question. Should this be the law? And, I think Ron Wyden at least was saying we should have a fuller discussion of this because I think, after 9/11, we were all scared. And we all said, you keep us safe no matter what, right?
No, absolutely. I think we should. And I made a suggestion to the NSA some time ago about a different way the program could be structured that would avoid a lot of these concerns and questions and operate the program in a different way. I will be following up with the NSA to see whether they have investigated that possibility and what the result is.
Yeah.
What do you think when the NSA data center in Utah is up and running in September, is that going to change things?
These are things I can't discuss at all.
Yeah, or he would have to kill you.
Sure.
I may have to kill you anyway.
Right, for other reasons.
But that really has
unrelated.
Nothing to do with national security.
Representative Schiff, I was thrilled with the Susan Rice pick, as I imagine you were too, because I just, I've never seen anything quite that unfair. I think what Republicans did over in Benghazi with her. Excuse me, I'm thrilled about it. What are your thoughts?
Oh, I'm thrilled about it, too, for many reasons. First and foremost, she's a top-notch talent. She's very smart, very capable, very experienced. She'll do a great job in that new important position. So she was a great pick on the merits. But I'm also glad that you know, someone who was terribly wronged by members of Congress over the whole Benghazi thing and commentators and others, you know, is getting a chance to promote and move up as she should, because, you know, if it wasn't clear already, and it should have been clear from the very beginning, the release of those 100 emails by the White House made it absolutely clear that she had no role in the creation of the talking points and the change of the talking points.
Right.
She relied on what the intelligence community said was their best assessment of what happened. And, you know, the most interesting thing, I think, you know, of all in terms of the release of those emails is that the one significant mistake in the talking points, the idea that it began as a protest, was put in by the CIA, and it was kept in from beginning to end, and there's no discussion about it. And obviously, Ambassador Rice had nothing whatsoever to do with that.
Yeah, I don't. I mean, when literally I hear whether it's senators or whoever say we still need to get some answers. What seriously? What answers do we not have about Benghazi? I don't even get it.
Well, you're talking about a Congress that's now voted to repeal
yes.
Obamacare 37 times. So we need to get the same answer 38 times at least before you know we'll move on.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's
and
it's,
I think we've only had 36 hearings on Benghazi, so we have a couple more to go.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, meanwhile, new jobs numbers today that were better than expected. You know, and you keep thinking, how much better could we be doing if we were focusing on real things like that, on doing the sequester, et cetera?
Absolutely. And that's the thing that's so frustrating is, you know, we have decent job growth. We'd like it to be a lot more. It could be a lot more.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
if we weren't suppressing job growth through this stupid sequester that cuts the good and the bad, the efficient with the inefficient, is exactly the wrong economic medicine for the time, we could be growing twice as many jobs per month.
Two friends of mine who work for the Department of Defense as civilian contractors were just furloughed earlier this week in San Diego. And so it's hitting my friends big time.
Well, and it's going to hit more and more as we go along, because you know, in the first year of a sequester of across-the-board cuts, you make whatever cuts you can. Now, a lot of them, because we've had other rounds of cuts in the past, are already cutting into the bone. But whatever you can basically push off, you push off. Well, next year there's going to be nothing to push off anymore. And so the severity each year, as long as this goes on, is going to become worse and worse and worse.
Yeah. The president trying to focus on what's important. The president talking about the middle class.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. There he is, the president yesterday.
The middle class has to be prospering, not just folks at the very top. That's got to be our focus.
And it seems like, you know, we were reading an article the other day that, I mean, what has happened thus far with this president, if you look at any of the numbers, has completely disproved this whole trickle-down theory, this austerity nonsense, hasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. And if you look at Europe and you see, you know, what's happened to those countries that have adopted austerity budgets, it's been crushing to their economies. This, that's not a model we want to follow.
Yeah.
The president's put forward some good ideas to grow jobs, put people back to work. We were reminded yet again about a week ago with that terrible bridge collapse that we've got incredible infrastructure needs in the country, and we were about to do something about it 4 years ago when we had that terrible bridge collapse in Minnesota.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just bridges.
Yeah.
Think about all the, you know, construction jobs in infrastructure.
Yeah, and how cheap money is now, and what a no-brainer it should
be. Exactly. Exactly.
Representative, we all know the most important thing facing the nation, though, is IRS employees line dancing. And this IRS scan, it's just another nothing burger, right? I mean, it's you can talk about the church in Pasadena that was back in 2005, right? All Saints Church out here was...
Yes. You know, I was just talking with Representative Walter Jones, a Republican colleague of mine. He was the only Republican I could get interested in whether the IRS was operating with a political focus during the last administration, when it would single out churches like All Saints, very progressive church in Pasadena, over an anti-war sermon and audit them. When it was scrutinizing African-American churches, when it was going after NAACP and Greenpeace, you know, whether there was a bias within, you know, part of the IRS. And now, of course, there's a lot more GOP interest in it. But
yeah,
I wish we'd been able to look into this years ago.
Well, and we were saying there was an analysis that, of course, the huge amount of groups that were okayed for tax-exempt status were conservative. I mean, because that's the point, is that there was an explosion of these specific kinds of groups after Citizens United.
There was, and a great many of them are complete shams, and we need the IRS to investigate under this section. They need to do it with a blind eye to the, you know, the political affiliation of the group. But a lot of them, you know, for example, Carl Rove set up one of these social welfare organizations because he wanted to hide his donors. And that is not what these sections were.
Are you implying that Karl Rove has not been engaged in primarily social welfare his whole life? Why?
Well, I would never suggest that. He's the most socially welfare conscious guy I've ever met.
Sure.
I don't get out much.
45 minutes after the hour. Back with the remaining moments. Representative Adam Schiff live in studio. We're here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's not radio. It's Stephanie Miller. Stephanie Miller.
It is the Stephanie Miller Show. Welcome to it. 49 minutes after the hour. 1-800-STEP-12, the phone number. Toll free from anywhere. Representative Adam Schiff, smooth jazz DJ and congressman, here in studio with us. Yeah, who said that first? You sound like a smooth jazz
Kristen
announcer.
Yankton.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, you do.
Well, thank you. I like jazz, and smooth jazz is good jazz.
There you go.
See?
Smooth jazz is good jazz.
Okay, see? Exactly. Let's talk about, first of all, we talk about sort of a lot of the non-scandal scandals. I do think that this is really the GOP overplaying their hand, don't you? So that nothing, it all becomes just white noise, I think.
Well, the problem is, you know, they've been doing this for so long about whether it was Fast and Furious or Benghazi, that, you know, when there is a real problem, it's hard to know because they're so hyperbolic all the time.
Right.
And, you know, unfortunately, I think a lot of the folks that are running these investigative committees have never actually run an investigation. they know how to do politics and they know how to do spin, but in terms of actually running a competent, credible investigation, that's not something they've ever done. Mm-hmm. And it shows. And the public doesn't have much confidence in it, and they shouldn't, and that's a real problem for the Congress, in my view.
What's it like debating people like Louis Gohmert?
Well, it all depends on how you like your asparagus.
Don't pass aspersions.
You know, personally, a lot of these members, like Louis, are very nice, and when you talk with them off the House floor, they're perfectly good company. But in committee, it often has you scratching your head and wondering where they come from, and it's
and where they get off.
For instance, yes. He said, let's see here, during a Thursday rant about the news the NSA has been collecting phone records from millions of Americans, Texas Congressman Louis Gohmert seemed a little confused when he proclaimed that freedom of the press is granted in the Second Amendment.
No. That's the only one they know about, apparently, is the Second Amendment.
Well, the freedom of press comes from the barrel of a gun.
Yeah,
there you go.
Apparently.
You know, I am never more astounded than during Judiciary Committee debates to hear all kinds of assertions made about our Constitution, and it's pretty scary.
Yeah.
I think, you know, the Judiciary Committee sometimes is a place where it's like bad law students' revenge, and it can be pretty spooky.
We were hearing some stuff today about immigration reform. It is hard to keep track. I know that I think it was even Marco Rubio said he thinks it's in trouble. Not sure it has support. And again, that seemed like, particularly after the last election, just politically speaking, like that would be a no-brainer that we will get some kind of comprehensive immigration reform. What do you think now?
Well, I'm still optimistic, although we had a vote in the House this week that was discouraging, and that is Steve King of Iowa offered an amendment to the Homeland Security Appropriations Bill, which basically would defund the president's program to defer action on Dreamers. So it was a vote basically to continue deporting Dreamers.
Mm-hmm.
And in the midst of, you know, an effort to reform the immigration process and pass the DREAM Act, this is a serious step backward, the fact that it got a majority support in the House and the vast majority of the GOP members. The DREAM Act is probably one of the easiest pieces of immigration reform.
And I was going to say, the low-hanging fruit, I would think, on immigration. But
exactly. And so if that has trouble getting through the House, then it really puts a big question mark on immigration reform. All that being said, I think the Senate will pass a bill. I hope they don't tamper too much with what the Gang of Eight came up with, although there are things I'd like to see changed in it. I want to see, for example, that we don't institutionalize another barrier to the LGBT community in the immigration reform. It would be a horrible irony when barriers are falling down all over the place that we institutionalize one in the immigration reform bill. But if we can fix that, and I hope we will on the Senate floor, and we can make sure that we keep family-based immigration alive and well, that's a pretty good bill, and my hope is that the House will take it up without amendment. Let the GOP bring up individual pieces of the immigration bill so their members can go on record any way they want, but hopefully the Speaker will agree to abandon the Hastert rule and let a comprehensive bill pass with bipartisan support, even if it has a minority of GOP support.
You know, speaking of gay rights, you're obviously here to ride in the Gay Pride Parade this weekend here in L.A. We're almost to a Supreme Court decision, probably next week, we think, right, on Prop 8?
Yes, yes. And, you know, I'm hearing a lot through the grapevine. It's not coming from the Supreme Court. It's, you know, more commentary, commentator grapevine. But that, you know, they may decide this on a standing issue. Which is not ideal. It would allow gay marriage in California, but it wouldn't decide the case on the merits, which would be the best of all. But don't I'm worried about. I don't know where the court is going to come down
really?
On that. And I think it will all depend ultimately on what the Chief Justice wants his legacy to be. Does he want to be sort of the Chief Justice of the last court to uphold discrimination?
Mm-hmm.
Because this is going to fall. And hopefully it will fall with this court and this year, but if it doesn't, it will still fall. And I don't think the Chief Justice wants his legacy to be in the future when people look back and they wonder how we ever discriminated against the LGBT community. I don't think he wants his legacy to be he was the last Chief Justice for that misguided policy.
Well, you know, it's interesting. Obviously, I've heard a lot of people say that, and then we had Jeffrey Toobin on this week, who's a legal analyst, and he was saying, you know, interestingly, the Affordable Care decision by Roberts, he actually said he thinks that was to inoculate him about to be able to, you know, cast more and more conservative votes because, you know, and I hope not. I hope that doesn't think he opens it opens the door to that.
Well, I have the same concern, actually. The way that I viewed it is that maybe not as a way of inoculating himself, but the fact that he took that risk he did with that decision may make him less willing to take risks in other cases. But this one, even probably more so than the healthcare decision, may go down in history for what he stands for. And so, you know, the...
And Representative, what, you know, as a lawyer, how I've asked this question. I don't know that I've gotten a good answer. It just seems to me that this creates just a really legal chaos if, like you say, if it's a narrow ruling, as many people are expecting, and it's just California. It's just, you know, it just seems like that's not the way we've ever operated as a country, that, you know, you're married here, but you have to move to another state, and then you're not anymore, and then you lose all the rights you had in this state and a million other legal complications, right?
It has that potential. You know, I think there are a couple different legal opinions right now. If they decide that there's no standing, does that only affect the couples that were married during the pendency of it? Does it affect all couples? I think it would be broadly interpreted to affect all couples, and basically
in California.
In California, but still, you're right. It even with that interpretation, you have this kind of crazy quilt. Depends on what state you're in, and then when you leave the state and go to another state, is your marriage recognized? And what if you join the military? Right now, the military doesn't recognize your marriage, even though you're legally married in a state that allows marriage. So it is a mess, and the court has a chance to fix that mess. I hope they take it.
Vince in Chicago, before we go, you're on with Congressman Schiff. Hello, Vince.
Good morning.
Good morning.
And how are you all doing?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Okay, the thing I want to talk about is with the wiretaps.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this has been going on since the FBI when J. Edgar Hoover was running it, you know, gathering information on people, you know, and nobody came forward, no one had the stones to come forward after the man died. Why are we surprised this is still going on? on another fact.
Well, it was different then because he was wearing a dress.
Oh, all right. Stop it.
And scene. All right, well, we're out of time. There's probably a more thoughtful answer to that. Representative Adam Schiff, thank you for supporting the gay community and riding in the parade this weekend and taking time to come mere feet over here to our studio. We appreciate it.
Great to be with you.
All right. 58 minutes after the hour. Have a great weekend. We will see you Monday on the Stephanie Miller Show.